السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ تأذن ربكم لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and our sisters who listen over receivers, about two nights ago a person phoned from one of the towns or cities in England, and he said that it was just past midnight, fast asleep he was, and suddenly he was shaken up and he did not know whether he was dreaming or it was a reality, that his bed was rocking to and fro, and he found the house moving east, west, north, south, and he found everything turning around. So he was not certain whether it was a dream or it was reality. However, it was very frightening. Everyone in the house got up, and after a little while they realized that it was 5 point some on the Richter scale, a tremor that had taken place. Now that is the haqiqah and reality, that no one knows when what is going to happen. We travel throughout the world, or we travel in our own country, in our own cities, our own town, our own streets. We do not know whether we are going to return home. Nobody has got any kind of guarantee that he will return home. So many people asked their families to prepare a certain kind of dish for them so that they may come and partake of it. But when the phone rang, the information was that your husband has passed away, your daughter passed away, your son passed away in an accident or heart attack or bomb blast or earthquake or tsunami or whatever it may be. So therefore we know what the reality and haqiqat is, but shaitan just does not want us to accept the reality because our enjoyment is affected. So for weak people like us who are drowning in the ocean of laziness, our pious and righteous elders from the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif, they gave us some very, very simple prescriptions. Hazrat Maulana Dr. Abdullahi Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi's prescription, which I discussed some time back here, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Allah Ta'ala knows. But it came very strongly in my heart and mind to discuss it again. He said, if we have to do 4 simple little things, and it does not require great effort, does not require great expenditure, nothing, it doesn't even cost anything, then we will take care of our past, our present, and our future. Now you will wonder that how can we take care of our past, present, and future? So listen carefully. He says the first thing that we must do is that we must implement in our lives shukr over every ni'mat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives to us. Now how much does it cost to make shukr, to show gratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for all his bounties and gifts? What expenditure is incurred? The miserliest person also, he can make shukr. Of course, that shukr of wealth is that the person must distribute, he must spend for his family, for the needy, for the poor. But this person can also make shukr of those ni'mats. So if we have to look at our lives, we will find that many things are happening as we desire. And many things are happening against our desire. It can only be according to our wish and our will and our desire, or it could be against our wish and our desire. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is supreme, and He is the one who makes the decisions. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows best what is good for us. Therefore, as you have heard repeatedly, that there are only two roads. One is the road of shukr, and the other is the road of sabr. There are only two roads. All the others are branches of these two roads. There are only two routes to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Either Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala takes a person through the route of sabr, or He takes him through the route of shukr. It's just like, say, if Cape Town had only two roads to get there, then we will take this one or that one. One of them could be a pleasant route, garden route, very nice, interesting lakes, rivers, scenery. And another route could be through an area which is dry, barren. But it is just two roads that lead to Allah Ta'ala. If the conditions are in accordance with our desire, if it is a ni'mat and a blessing of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, some people Allah Ta'ala gives them good home, good children, good wife, plenty of wealth and everything, and test them for shukr. That are they grateful? Where do they spend this wealth? Do they spend their millions in casinos, in discos, cinemas, rave clubs, lavish weddings, wastage of a kind that even shaitan will feel ashamed? Or do they spend in places which Allah and His Rasul ﷺ are pleased with? So there's a test of shukr. And the other is when Allah Ta'ala takes it away, then it's a test of sabr. So the first thing that we must implement, or everyone can easily implement in his life, is this shukr over every ni'mat and bounty. One is general acknowledgement that, oh Allah, I'm grateful to you for all your ni'mats and bounties. Now there we are covering everything. And then specific ni'mats. We don't even realize that these are ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. A person gets up in the morning and he sees that his sight hasn't been snatched away. He can see the face of his wife, his children. He can drive the car. He can go to the toilet. He can make wuzu. He can do everything. Now this is a great ni'mat that he got up with sight. Otherwise so many people, they went to sleep and the sight was gone. He gets up in the morning, he can still hear, listen. The person can still speak. The person's body is not paralyzed. He can still move. Now all these are ni'mats and bounties of Allah Ta'ala. So early morning, straight away he tells Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that I'm grateful to you for all these ni'mats and bounties. When it comes to the time of work, the person is able to reach his place of work in time. That is a great ni'mat also. You can be held up in traffic for hours and hours if there's an accident. But how many of us really consider this reaching our place of work in time as a great ni'mat and bounty of Allah Ta'ala? How many of us are very fortunate that we have got cars to get us to our destination easily? But sometimes a person has to catch a bus, he has to catch a taxi, he has to ride a bicycle or a scooter. So even if he has to ride a scooter or a bicycle and get to work, he is still much more fortunate than the person who has to walk for miles and miles. So many people walk just to get to work for a few rands. And we don't even show any concern that if Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with sufficiency, then let us not go by the book and say the government has said this is the minimum wage, so we will give you the minimum wage. So a few hundred rands is sufficient for you. Although we know that that person travels from a distance and comes. And if he has to spend on bus, then he'll be left with nothing to take home. But we will spend millions on other things and hundreds of thousands in lavish weddings. But we will say, no, the government stipulation, just a few hundred rands, that's a minimum wage. I'm not talking about those people who can't afford it. I'm talking about people like us who can afford. Why go by the book when we can spend on so many other things? What's there if we give them a little bit of increase, or say this is for your bus fare, this is for your taxi fare? We know you walk miles and miles and come to work, our maids and others who work for us. So we must make shukr that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given us the bounty of transport. If we did not have transport, how difficult it would have become. Honestly, sometimes when we see the people standing in the rain, storm, getting wet and soaked, but they've got no transport. Now we know that it is because of the hijacking and murders and killings, and we just don't know who is safe and in whose company we are safe or not, so therefore we don't give much lifts to strangers. But I'm talking about even people that we can recognize that these people are not crooks. They are going towards the masjid, they're going towards work, elderly people. So ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is that the person is able to get to work. It's a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala that is able to get transport. And then when he gets to work again, there if he finds everything is okay, the shop hasn't been burgled, then again he makes shukr over that ni'mat also. So the essence of that is that the first thing that we implement is shukr over all ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala, because he himself mentions in the Quran Sharif, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala announces it. It's like a public announcement. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. That if you are going to be grateful to me, I will definitely, most certainly give you increase in those bounties. The majority of the people whose ni'mats have been snatched away, great losses were incurred, governments collapsed, fortunes were lost, homes were destroyed. The majority I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the exceptions. The exceptions, they could be a test for them, as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions were tested. Whatever they had in Makkah Sharif was taken away from them. But then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, and so many other ni'mats. So I'm talking about the majority where it is snatched away, it is either the person hasn't paid the zakat properly, or the person has been spending in causes that cause the wrath of and anger of Allah Ta'ala. Lavish weddings, feasting, wastage, just decorations of halls running into hundreds of thousands of rands, just the receptions, all these type of things. Who are we fooling? Sometimes we brag that nikah of my daughter took place very, very simply, Maulana, in the ijtima. Took very, very simply in your masjid. Took very, very simply here and there. And after a few days, you may hear of the reception. The nikah took place simply, but then hear of the reception. What happened there? So make shukr of the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala if you want to get an increase in those ni'mats. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala promises that increase upon shukr. And the shukr of a ni'mat is to use it as it is intended to be used. The eyes, the hearing, the speech. Shukr is not just shukr mere Allah, and after that we are watching all the haram on the internet and on the television, and we're making shukr of the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, the sight. That, oh Allah, how grateful we are to you. You blessed us with sight, so at least we can watch all this porn films. Na'uzubillah. Is there shukr of ni'mat? The empire, we all know the collapse of the Roman Empire, but even Mughal Empire, who does not know what were the causes of its collapse? So just having a lot of property and assets is no guarantee that it will remain in our hands forever and ever. Increase the shukr over those ni'mats. Good wealth in the hands of a good person is an extremely good thing. There's nothing wrong with that wealth itself. Allah Ta'ala does not condemn the wealth itself. Sahaba-e-kiram, many of them had a lot of wealth. Great Awliya-e-kiram had plenty of wealth. But how do you use it? How do you earn it? There's no time to go into details. Then the second point, the four amal that we have to make, put into our lives, very, very simple, easy, practical. Now how difficult is it to make shukr of all the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala? The second thing is sabr. So if everything is working in accordance with our will, then shukr. Because this is the only ni'mat that will continue even into Jannat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala begins the Quran Sharif with Surah Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The gist of the whole Quran Sharif is in Surah Fatiha. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala commences it with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala praises Himself, or Allah Ta'ala praises His creation, or the creation praises Allah Ta'ala, or the creation praises some other creation, all those praises are due to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala alone. Because if anybody has got any kind of jamal and kamal in him, some beauty and some perfection in any field, then all that is again the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So that is one. The second thing is sabr. If things are not working according to our will and wish and desire, then don't focus only on those difficulties and hardships and problems. Sometimes the difficulty and hardship is very, very small. But we will focus on it in such a way as if Qiyamah has come upon us and there is no difficulty greater than this difficulty which has come upon us. We will forget altogether all those ni'mats and bounties that Allah Ta'ala is still showering upon us. If the person has lost some wealth, or his car got hijacked and stolen, or some other disaster took place, some family member passed away, wife passed away, husband passed away. Now these are disasters in a person's life. But then at that time look that, oh Allah, you have still blessed me with health, you have blessed me with wealth, you have blessed me with properties, you have blessed me with so much of fortunes and so much of bounties. So focus on that, so our pain and grief will be lessened. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that must say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily we are for Allah, and to Him it is our return. Now when the person realizes that, then it lessens his worry, his concern. He knows that it's a test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So we should turn towards Him. As Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, that if all the difficulties and hardships and pain and suffering and problem of the world, they are arrows. They are all arrows. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who is targeting those arrows. And the person against whom it is targeted, it never misses him. So what must you do at such a time? He said, what would you do if there was somebody that was firing arrows like that? Get under his arm. If you get under the arm of the person, then even if he's got billions of arrows, but he can't target you with that arrow, you are under his arm. So connect yourself with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, turn towards Him, make ruju ila Allah, then you will be protected. So sabr is something that we can easily implement. That whenever the person suffers any kind of difficulty, at least say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It's not only if somebody dies, then we say, Inna lillahi. One day it just slipped from my mouth, somebody was talking about his father is very ill in hospital, or his wife. So I said, Inna lillahi. I said, no, Malna, hasn't passed away as yet. I said, no. So then I had to explain to the person that this Inna lillahi, whenever any difficulty, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on one occasion the lamp extinguished. So he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked, Ya Rasulullah, is this also some kind of difficulty? Said, yes, any difficulty that a person experiences, inconvenience of any kind. And if he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he'll be rewarded for sabr. So now this sabr, again, we have discussed many, many times in great detail. But so if things work in accordance with our wish, will and desire, then we make shukr. And if it is against our will and desire, then we make sabr. And focus more on all what we have than focusing just on those difficulties. We are living in a world of means, so we will make use of the means to get rid of those difficulties. But again, the removal of that difficulty and the cure of that sickness and everything else is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Dua aur dawa mein asar hai zarur, marizo ki shifa lekin daste khuda mein hai. There is definitely effect in dua, and there is definitely effect in dawa. But the cure for the ailment and sickness is in the hands of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Sometimes that sickness and pain can be an azab and a punishment, and sometimes that sickness and pain can be a rahmat and a mercy, we don't know. But it is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala to remove it. So sabr. Over difficulties, hardship, pain, the person makes sabr. Hazrat Mawlana Azghalani Rahmatullah Ali was very, very sick. His student, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, went to visit him. He asked him, how are you? He said, Alhamdulillah, I can see well, I can hear well, my speech is okay, my hands are moving, my feet, I'm walking, just that I've got high temperature. So first he said all those things that were good. Then he said, I have high temperature. The third thing that the person must do is make plenty of istighfar. Make plenty of istighfar. This is a means of protection for us. We may not know the benefits of it, we may not know the power of it. But believe me, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the greatest after Allah. If he could make astaghfirullah 100 times a day, astaghfirullah 70 times a day, different forms of istighfar, seeking forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what was he seeking forgiveness from? Was there any sin that he committed that he was seeking forgiveness from? It was an elevation of his stages even more. But for us, it becomes the means of forgiveness of those sins that we commit. Unless, of course, they are the rights of people, then that no matter how many tears we shed, and no matter how much of tawbah we make, we must fulfill those rights. If monies are due to somebody, then ask for extension of time or do something, but pay the person, otherwise we will not be forgiven just by astaghfirullah. If somebody's money was stolen, then it has to be returned. If during our days of ignorance we had taken interest on the loans that we had given to some person, then now that interest has to be returned. It does not mean that if we changed our life after 30 years or 40 years, so then now we just keep quiet and we say, well, that is all maaf now. Now there is another thing which we can discuss in detail, but there's no time now, so I conclude with the fourth point. Then inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives life, we'll discuss it in detail. And the fourth thing is isti'aza. That means seeking protection in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. At the beginning of my talk, I had mentioned that incident that this person got up late at night or just past midnight and he says his bed was rocking, the house was moving, and everything was turning upside down, and then he realized that it was an earthquake which had struck that part of England, and this happened just two or three nights ago. So like that, every person has got an apprehension and fear. Everyone has got that fear, whether it's pious, righteous or not. The person is driving is fearing could be an accident. The person is opening his shop is fearing that could be a hold up. The person is traveling out is fearing that from the immigration they could return him to his country, although he's got visas. The person is, anything he is doing, there's so much of fears that have gripped us, which is an azab. But there are so much of fears. The person is fearing his child is going to school, that nobody must kidnap him. The person is fearing that his car that he is parking to go to the post office or the bank, it must still be there. Because they say, what is happiness today? Happiness is that when you return from the bank, you still find your car there. That is happiness. So this apprehension and fear that we have about everything that is going to happen. So, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. As we say, for protection, we seek protection in Allah Ta'ala from Shaitan, the rejected one. What does it mean? From the mischief of Shaitan, we are asking Allah Ta'ala to protect us. So like that, we ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from all kinds of harm, all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of problems, disasters. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us. After that, we don't know what's going to happen. But at least when we are handing ourselves to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, it will give us some solace, some comfort. As the person says that my matter, the senior counsel who is renowned in the world, he is handling it. So now this person feels confident that the case I'm going to win. Or the person says, I've got the greatest contact with the president of the country, or the king and ruler of this country. So the person feels comfortable that now any problem, I'll just pick up the phone and tell him. Yet all these people, it's not in their hands. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when we are going to hand ourselves over to him and we say, Ya Allah, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in my life, or what's going to happen to my children, or to my wife, or to my family. Therefore, my beloved Allah, I am asking you to protect me too, protect my wife, protect my children, and protect my family. Now this, if a person does every day, that on the one hand, he increases his shukr over all the bounties and ni'mat, he makes sabr over the difficulties, hardship, pain and problem, and the person makes plenty of istighfar and tawbah over all his sins, sincere tawbah, and the person asks Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for protection from all kinds of harm and difficulties, then you will find that sooner or later, he will build up such a contact with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that his sins will fall by the way if he does it sincerely. And it doesn't require much effort, doesn't require any kind of expenditure. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the Ummah the tawfiq of amal. At present we know what the situation is in Palestine, and we knew in other parts of the world, even in Africa, Iraq. So what must we do? Assist, help, participate in those projects that are there to assist and help them, and do the same thing. Make a lot of dua for them. It is only Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who can remove those difficulties. May Allah remove the difficulties, the pain, the suffering, the problems of the ummah around the globe and of mankind around the globe. May Allah Ta'ala bless mankind with hidayat and make everyone worthy of entry into Jannat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.